I will read the scripture for this morning, and then Pastor Steve will come. The scripture is from Ephesians 4, 20 to 32. That is not the way you learned in Christ. You learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all the malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. I realize I might have read the wrong translation. Pastor Steve, come.
So as we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to give out some fruit again today. Donovan and April are going to share it with you. I was going to ask if anybody already experienced a kind gesture, but we've already seen a couple kneel willingly going to get the offering. April and Donovan serving us, already seeing some acts of kindness. Just to begin to think about that fruit of kindness, or kindness as part of the whole package of fruit, the newness that the Holy Spirit's putting upon us. I'm not going to go into that scripture from Ephesians 4, but I just thought it was a call for us to put aside our old ways and take on the kindness of Christ in how we treat others. But I want to make a contrast between being nice and being kind. The way I would want to describe nice, and I'll compare it to last week. Last week we said, when we were talking about peace, that peace is not only the absence of war, it's not just the absence of struggle or conflict, but peace is actually offering shalom to other people, justice and goodness and righteousness to others. So there's more. There's more to peace than just what it's an absence of, but it's actually offering shalom. In the same way, when we say someone is nice, is they're pleasant and they're not offensive. Like we used to tell our dog, be nice when he'd be snapping at people. We weren't expecting him necessarily to be cheerful, but at least stop nipping, you know. So nice is pleasant, not doing anything offensive. When we say to our son or daughter, you know, be nice to your sister, be nice to your brother, we might not expect them all of a sudden to be benevolent in that situation, but at least stop hitting or irritating your sibling. But kindness literally means useful compassion. It's compassion being put into practice towards another person. It's an act of kindness we often think about. So it's the Spirit-produced goodness in us. It meets the needs of other people. And it does so in a pleasant, positive way, expression towards them. So it's a disposition. We can have a kind disposition, but it's much more than that. It's actually offering, looking for opportunities to offer blessing to others. So I've read somewhere that when we think about all these expressions of love, patience is long-suffering love. Goodness is generous love. And kindness is compassionate love. It's tender concern and action towards other people, seeing the need and stepping in. So I thought, just, the story of Jesus is filled with all these acts of kindness. Just one example, Jesus is leaving Jericho, and this blind man named Bartimaeus is at the side of the road. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He keeps crying out, and everybody's telling him to be quiet, you know, be nice. You know, don't offend the teacher, the rabbi who's walking by. Just be quiet. But Jesus stops and he takes notice of him. First of all, the first step in kindness is to be aware, to see the need, to see the other person. And then he says, call him over. You know, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. And so Jesus heals him. Your faith has made you well. Just one of the many acts of kindness along Jesus' journey through life. So kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that's nurtured within us, and it's a gift from a kind God. Kindness starts with God. The word that we often see in the Old Testament is the loving kindness of God. It describes over and over again that God's a faithful God, that God's loyal to us as the people of Israel, that God makes promises, makes covenants with us, and he keeps them. Like he's persistent in his loving kindness. In Isaiah 54, it says, even if the mountains would be removed and the hills would shake, God's loving kindness will not be removed from us. God says, my covenant of peace will never be shaken. The Lord says this, who has compassion on you. So like, mountains disappearing, the hills shaking is like when life is turned upside down. God says, my loving kindness will never be removed from you. In Lamentations 3, it's where we get the hymn, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord's loving kindness indeed will never cease. His compassions will never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So it's like every day is this new opportunity for God to shine his kindness upon us. Think about that for later. Every day is an opportunity for us to offer kindness towards others. And a commentator said, in general, one can identify three meanings to this word loving kindness: strength, steadfastness, and love. Just like it's solid. This kindness of God is solid. So I'd say that because often we kind of might not feel a lot of strength with the word kind, but there's an undergirding strength in that, like a persistence to that kindness of God, and hopefully a persistence of kindness that is being nurtured within us with this fruit of the Spirit. So we see it with Jesus. Again, we could probably go around that corner of the sanctuary and go around to this corner, and we could all probably tell a story of kindness that Jesus showed to somebody. It's the whole story. And it's the core of the gospel, that God came to us in kindness to save us. In Ephesians, Paul writes, because of God's great love for us. God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus, in order that in all the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So in ages to come, there'll be evidence of God's kindness as we are there enjoying his presence forever and ever. To Titus, Paul writes, "At one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice. We lived in envy. We were hated, and we hated one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously." Again, when the kindness of God appeared, we were saved. Our whole lives changed. All of creation changed. And I'll just give one more example about this. Last week I said about peace that peace is more than just God, Jesus saying, "Let everything be still." But maybe even more powerfully is when it says in Ephesians 2 that Jesus tore down the dividing wall that divides us from God and that divides us from each other. That's peace. God, through Jesus, tearing down dividing walls. And we said, you know, it no longer are those who are near to God separated from those who are far off from God. And those who are near to God can't say, "Well, I guess we'll let them in. I guess we'll let them come to our side, or that we're all together now." Everybody, those near and those far, realize that they need Jesus's mercy, and that's what brings them together. Now, in Romans 11, Paul's talking to those who were far off, but are now brought near. And he uses the illustration that they were grafted into this tree of God. There was the people of God, and now others are being grafted in. And he's telling them, and these new grafts are starting to say, "Well, we have the true gospel now, and those others who had all these promises aren't as faithful as us." And Paul's saying to them, don't be comparing yourself with those who preceded you in these promises. Just worry about the kindness of God towards you. That's what your focus should be. Remember the kindness of God that's given to you. Let that be what fills your heart. So anyway, God, it's all about, God is a God of kindness, and goodness. God, comes to us in kindness through Jesus to bring us back to him. And then kindness is then part of the fruit, is part of that great fruit that he offers to us to fill our hearts. And so every week we'll go back to this: a good tree bears good fruit. So as the Spirit builds kindness within us, we begin to offer that to others. And so as we think now about ourselves living kindness towards others, maybe the ultimate scripture or one that we could look to is the Good Samaritan, where others pass by this man beaten and bloody on the road. Others passed by. It says that the Samaritan came near to him. Again, that's the beginning of kindness, to recognize, to notice, to come near. And then he went through all these things. He poured oil on his wound. He bandaged the wound. He put the man on his own donkey. He took him to the inn. I'm assuming maybe that was out of his way. He cared for him for a day. And then when he had to leave, he gives the innkeeper money, 2 days, money, 2 days wages worth of money. If you need more, I'm going to be back. I'll give you more. Just all these acts of kindness towards this man. And so we have those two ingredients there: noticing, coming near, but then actually offering oneself and these acts of kindness. I can hear Jesus saying, even though he doesn't say this specifically, it's easy to be kind to someone who's pleasant, who's where you have this kind of free space to be kind and caring and giving. But how about in those more difficult circumstances and in the midst of more difficult people? When I was studying this this message on kindness this week, I remembered one of the things I wanted to do too was call AT&T because I wanted to try to fix something I thought was wrong. Some of you know, like a year ago, I put my phone on top of the car and drove to church, and it was pouring down rain. The phone fell off in Talmadge, and I found it later that day. Actually, my Spotify music was still playing, but there's no more display. So I had to get a new phone. So I went to the AT&T store, got a new phone, and I still don't understand, but I had to get another line. So I'm paying four lines for three phones in our family. And so what I wanted to do was pay off the broken phone and drop that line. I still don't understand, but I can't. I have to pay for these four lines. So anyway, the customer service person says, well, maybe we can find you another way to save money. She says, what's your occupation? I said, I'm a pastor. And she chuckled. She said, I could tell by the passion in your voice. She didn't say, I could hear the kindness coming out of you. Like, if you told me, I appreciated your sermon, I could hear the passion, that would be a compliment. But when a customer service person says, I heard the passion in your voice, what she's saying is, you know, I can tell you're getting pretty testy with me. So I could say, like, I could say that I was respectful, I was not unkind, but I can't say that I was kind in that, you know, in that conversation, in that moment, which was much more trying. So anyway, our kindness can be tested, but it really shines through in those more difficult circumstances. I'm thinking about the Samaritan, this man who was supposed to be his enemy, was willing to show that kindness. And kindness is so attractive. It attracts people to the Jesus in us as we exemplify that. And there's whole books. I probably have a couple books on my shelf about encouraging churches to go out and do acts of kindness to meet and to know and to serve your community. And even like we're in the midst of this through Love Inc. Helping some families within the community with some needs they have around the house. So Thursday, Chris and I went out to talk to three of these individuals who asked for some help. So it is an opportunity for us to show kindness, representing Christ. And just so you know, maybe some of you be interested, the one house, it's her porch is really in bad shape, and at least she wants the porch right at the top step to be secure, so it's safe for her to go up and down the steps. And then her front yard just needs a lot of weeding in her backyard, so that kind of outdoor cleaning stuff up in the garden. Another family, they just have this big pile of brush that they need to be removed with a truck. And then another family needs their porch, part of their porch painted, and again, some yard work. So, and there's one other person to talk to yet. But those are some of the ways that we can offer kindness to people in our community. If any of that sounds interesting, you could talk to Chris about that. They're away this weekend. But Wordsworth says, the best portion of a good person's life is the little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love. So even while it's impactful as a church somehow to have these projects, it's even more impactful, I think, just our daily spontaneous acts of kindness, or just the people who are in our web of relationships, our coworkers, our family, our neighbors around the church, just people we might come in contact with just in everyday life, those opportunities that we take to be kind can have a really impactful impact on people to see that kindness and love of God. So if you find like, I know it's a good thing to be kind, but I struggle with that. First of all, reflect on the kindness of God towards you. You know, praise God, be thankful to God. Notice, the kindness of God. Pray that the Spirit might fill you with that kindness. But then also, even if, as you're not feeling very kind, as we begin to do acts of kindness, that might be one of the ways that the Spirit begins to impact our hearts and fill us with the fruit of kindness, as we begin to experience what it is to really offer kindness, even in difficult circumstances. And it reminds me of something I would often teach with premarital couples or any couples who might be having some struggles, where it's hard to love the other. You know, there's just some conflict. It's hard to love the other. And there's this saying, act your way into a feeling change. Don't feel your way into a change of action. In other words, don't say, when I feel like it, I'm going to try to feel more loving. And when I begin to feel more loving, then I'll begin to show that love. You know, you might be waiting a long time for that feeling to reemerge. But begin to act your way into a new way of relating. Begin to demonstrate love. Begin to demonstrate kindness, and see what that starts to do in your relationship. See how that changes your heart. See how that changes your spouse's heart, or whoever it might be that you want to are trying to offer this kindness to. Don't wait to feel it. Begin to step into kindness and see how the Spirit of God begins to change you and change the other because of that. So there's even a suggestion, pick the most cantankerous, bitter person you know and begin to act kind towards them. Yeah, you know, try it out. I thought, you know, if someone in the congregation begins to be kind to you, you're going to start to think, do they think I'm the bitterest, most cantankerous person? Why'd they pick me to be kind to? But let's do it for everybody. So I just want to close with a story. John Drescher has a lot of good stories that describe the fruit of the Spirit. And this is one story he gave. Again, this isn't like an everyday act of kindness like I'm encouraging us especially to do, but it is a situation that someone was put into. It wasn't like he said, I'm going to be kind today, what can I do? He was put into this situation, and he was challenged to be kind, and he came through. There's this article in the magazine Eternity, and the author talks about a Christian Chinese cook who was put into prison one night. It was bitterly cold, about 26 degrees below zero. He had on his padded clothes and a big fur coat. But a man who was later thrown into jail with him had no wraps at all. The Christian man began to pray that God would get him out of prison. But while he was praying, it seemed like God spoke to him and said, I won't hear your prayer until you take off your fur coat and give it to the man who has none next to you. But if I do that, I'll be frozen to death by morning, the man thought. Well, if you don't, he seemed to hear God reply, this man will be dead before morning. So he took off his fur coat, he gave it to the man, and his life was saved. Later on, at a Christian gathering in communist China, I was present when the man who had received the coat got up and gave his testimony. I'm here today because a man shared his coat with me in prison, he said simply. Act of kindness. So as we go from here, let's reflect on the kindness and the love and the mercy of God towards us. Let's reflect on the kindness Jesus showed to everyone leading up to the cross, which would include us, and pray that the Spirit might build the fruit of kindness within us so that we could share it with others. So let's pray together. Kind and loving and loyal and faithful God, your mercies are new every morning. Your kindness is new every morning. May we wake each day thanking you for your kindness and offering kindness to those we meet along the way. May others see Jesus in us. Amen.